May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 379. 379. Come, my soul, thy suit prepare. Jesus loves to answer prayer. He himself has bid thee pray, therefore will not say thee nay. Hymn 379.
Thank you. Let's read together from the Word of God, the Gospel according to Luke, reading from chapter 2. We'll begin to read from verse 21 down to verse 40. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, reading from verse 21 down to verse 40. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marvelled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. May the Lord bless that reading of his word of truth to us, we add our amen to it. And may he teach us how to pray. Merciful, kind, gracious Lord, our God, thou hast been pleased in the riches of thy grace, that we should come forth through the scenes of another week here below, and that we believe and trust, Lord, that thou hast been that one constant friend and companion to us. Thou hast been that one thing needful to us to supply all our needs, to uphold us and to keep us and preserve us each in thy love and fear. And it is our mercy, Lord, if we can bear witness and testimony, that we are in thy hands, and according to thy gracious promise, that all our care is upon thee, and that thou hast done great things for us. And Lord, we would seek to return praise and thanks and glory to thy name for thy dealings with us, in preserving us, in watching over us, in showing us thy love and thy mercy, and the times and the seasons, Lord, that thou hast been pleased to be with us and heard our prayers and our petitions, our morning and evening sacrifices. O Lord, we do pray, be pleased to hear them in each and every household that gather here, we pray, this time, and be pleased to be prayer hearing and answering to them. And we do pray, Lord, and thank thee that thou dost appear, Lord, unto thy people, and that our homes betimes, and Lord, we bear testimony to it, have proved to be little Bethels to us, a visit from thee, O Lord, a word in season, and Lord, that thou art the keeper of our never-dying immortal souls, and thou hast brought us, O Lord, to this moment of time, through the scenes of another week, to worship at thy feet, that we should see another Lord's day here below, is our great mercy, Lord. And we do pray that there may have been an anticipation upon our spirit for this day, prayerfully seeking thee, Lord, that there may be some living portion for our souls out of thy word towards us. Something, Lord, that will meet our case and our need. Something, Lord, that will uphold us and keep us and strengthen us inwardly and spiritually in our souls. Another word in season, Lord, to show to us, Lord, again and again, the wonderful testimony that we're journeying in the straight and the narrow way that leadeth unto life. And Lord, we need thee, and we need thy word to be with us in this journey, Lord, because otherwise we shall never come through it, Lord. We cannot come through it on our own, Lord. We need thee to bring us forth. We need thee to go before, to make a way for us. And we need grace in our hearts to be trusting in thee and dependent upon thee for everything that concerns us, Lord. And we so need thee, Lord, to uphold us and to keep us and to maintain us in our course and to keep us faithful to thee, Lord, faithful to truth and doctrine, faithful as true followers and disciples of thyself. And Lord, we do pray, impart the graces of thy Spirit upon us. We pray thee, show to us, Lord, we pray thee, more of thy likeness. The spirit of the meek and the lowly dove, may it be ours, Lord, we pray thee. And do, Lord, we pray thee, come at this particular time, this special time, Lord, when thou hast favoured us with thy promise, that where the twos and the threes gather together in my name, there am I in the midst. And Lord, we seek thy presence. We seek the gracious blessing of the Holy Spirit upon us each, to pervade over this gathering, to be found in each of our hearts, Lord, and that our gathering together may be of full purpose, reality to our souls, and where thou wilt come to each one of us and speak unto us all the words of this life, even of precious Christ in the gospel, and show to every one of us, Lord, our need of thee at this time. But Lord, we pray that we those poor ones that have come before thee, helpless ones, weak ones, insufficient ones, in and of ourselves. O Lord, if grace has brought us there, that then, Lord, is our mercy. We will not only be poor, but we will be needy, Lord. We'll need thee, Lord. We need thy word. We need the comfort and the peace and the blessing of the gospel to enter into our souls. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt be made precious to each one of us. The one thing needful to us, Lord, as we gather together, that our time spent together may be a good time, a profitable time, and that thou wilt draw near to each and every one of us. Whatever our case, Lord, whatever our need at this time, Lord, thou art able, Lord, to come to the case and the need of each and every one of us out of the fullness of thy grace, Lord, and in the glory of thy offices and characters that thou dost hold for thy people, Lord, that not one of them should be left, Lord, desolate and destitute of thy gracious help, we pray thee. And, O Lord, we pray then that thou wilt come to each one of us, whatever our case and our need might be at this time, Lord. O Lord, we do pray, come to each one of us. And, Lord, grant a token for good, for our never-dying immortal souls, a visit from thyself, Lord. Come and touch each of our hearts, Lord, by and through thy word and through the Spirit, we pray thee, and bring us near to thee, and to see, Lord, again, we pray thee, that thou art that only one, and that one indeed needful to us, and that one to be in every part and aspect of our lives, and that only one that can bring us to our journey's end, Lord. Oh, help us to wait upon thee. And, Lord, appear then to each need and each concern. We pray thee at this time. Thou hast heard, Lord, the prayers in the pews, Lord, at this time, and be pleased to appear, Lord, to the poor and the needy of thy people. Come forth, Lord, to their help, we pray thee, and pray, Lord, at this time, that thou wilt visit them in thy salvation. O Lord, we do pray, grant it, Lord, to the glory of thy name, Lord, so that thy people, Lord, may be lifted up, Lord, and drawn near to thee, Lord. It is our mercy, Lord, to see thee again and again in thy great salvation to us, Lord. Oh, draw our poor souls to Calvary, Lord. Oh, may we see, Lord, in thee a suffering Christ, the gracious and most blessed, glorious work of atonement for sinners, and, Lord, and what thou didst suffer and endure on their part, Lord. Oh, show us again thy suffering. Show to us again thy blood, O Lord, that blood that will set us free from all our sins and iniquities and remove all guilt and defilement from us, Lord. Oh, we want to feel it, Lord. Oh, do, Lord, appear then, we pray thee, and come to each one of us, Lord, each needy soul, Lord, we pray thee, and we pray that we may each be needy, Lord. Oh, if there be any, Lord, indifferent, or any, Lord, that neglect, Lord, and careless in respect of their never-dying immortal souls, Lord, be pleased to awaken them, Lord. Be pleased to shine forth through the gospel light, Lord, into their souls, and awaken them and show to them their need as sinners, we pray thee. And, Lord, that they may be drawn to thee, Lord, and granted that true repentance and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, the only hope of sinners. Oh, we do pray, Lord, show to us each again and again, Lord, the importance and the truth of the need of our never-dying immortal souls, Lord. All the combined riches and wealth, Lord, of this world, Lord, that cannot purchase the soul. The soul is far more richer, Lord, or needful, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt appear. If ye were to gain the whole world and lose your own souls, O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt then impart this truth, Lord, into the souls of each one of us, our need of thee to come to us and to save us, Lord, from our sins and iniquities. And pray, Lord, that there shall be not one, Lord, in this house of thy prayer that shall fall short, Lord, of this great blessing of mercy through thy blood. Lord, we ask it, and we pray for each and every one, Lord, the eldest to the youngest, Lord, that thou wilt appear and show thyself, Lord, in the riches of thy grace, that thou didst come to seek and to save lost sinners, to raise them up from death unto life, and to impart peace and comfort and joy to their souls through the gospel, to find union and fellowship with the Lamb of God that did take away the sin of the world. Oh, what a mercy it is, Lord, to find an experience in our souls, a felt nearness to Jesus, and particularly, Lord, a nearness to a suffering Christ upon the cross at Calvary. Be with each one of us, Lord. Be with us in our homes. Be with us in our cares and our concerns and those things needful to us, Lord. And be with our young friends, Lord, that gather and who now begin another term, Lord, of their education, Lord. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt be with them, Lord, and may they be able to venture to thee, Lord, and commit everything that concerns them into thy hands, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to lead them on and guide them, Lord, through their path here below, we pray thee. And be with us, Lord, each and every one. Keep us close unto thee, Lord. Rule and reign in our hearts and in our lives, Lord, and help us to commit everything that concerns us into thine ever-merciful hands. Be with thy church and people and congregation that gather together here, Lord, week by week. Be pleased, Lord, to be with them. And we pray, Lord, earnestly, that thou wilt be pleased to add to them numbers such as are ordained to eternal life, and to us such, Lord, that shall come into a believing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, we do pray that none, Lord, shall be ashamed of Jesus, that none be ashamed to take up with thee, Lord, and left in that shame at that great day when thou shalt appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Lord, we do pray that there may be those that shall come forth, Lord, and bear testimony and witness to what thou hast done for their souls, we pray thee. Pardon and forgive our every sin, Lord. Subdue its power, Lord, within us. The old nature, Lord, the old man, the body of death, Lord. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt appear in thy grace, Lord, and where all sin abounds, vain thoughts and imaginations, Lord, where sin abounds, that thy grace might much more abound, we pray thee. Help us to confess and repent our sins, and help us to flee to the fountain of thy precious blood, that blood of sprinkling, to wash, to cleanse, to heal and to restore. We thank thee that that fountain is open today for those who feel all their uncleanness. O Lord, we ask it. Be with us now, Lord. Watch over us in this assembly. Come to the case of each one of us. Help thy servant to speak in thy name, Lord. We do pray, Lord, that thy people hear and may have an attentive ear through thy Spirit to hear what thou wilt speak and say unto our souls. We ask it in that all-precious name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's now sing hymn 913, 913. 'Tis the gospel's joyful tidings, full salvation sweetly sounds, grace to heal thy foul backslidings, sinner flows from Jesus' wounds. Hymn 913.
Oh,
seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and seek to draw your attention to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2, reading from verse 25, 26, and then also just want to close upon another word, which I think is seasonable, in verse 30, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Verse 25, 26, and verse 30, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. What was the experience of Simeon? Was a most blessed and glorious experience. He was a man greatly favoured and greatly blessed. He was a man that worshipped according to the Old Testament law and ordinances. But he was a man, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. He was a man who was favoured and loved of God before time began. His name was recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. The great blessing of Father, Son, and Spirit all engaged. In the blessing that should come upon this man, that the Lord would visit him, that the Lord would bless him in his salvation. He saw in the Old Testament offerings and the sacrifices, the morning and evening lamb that was taken, the sin offerings. He saw a precious Christ. He saw his salvation by a living faith, and his hope was fixed in and upon it, of him that should come to be his Saviour and his Redeemer. And all the Old Testament saints, they lived in hope and expectation of the one promised, the Messiah, the sent one, seed of the woman that should bruise the serpent's head. And Simeon was a man indeed, blessed that he came to that period of time, a transition period, when his hope was going to enter into the full expectation of he whom he saw by faith to become his sacrifice for his sins and iniquities. I believe it's the most wondrous truth to this man. I'm not saying it is anything that was denied all those in the Old Testament dispensation. They all looked, the believers in God, and those who looked for Christ and him that should come, they were blessed with a living faith. It was their salvation, their righteousness. It was their acceptance before God. But this man It was a something ordained of our God that he should see, and there were those others also, but he was given a word that he should see and behold his precious Christ. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem, a man elect of God, one of his peculiar and choice people whom he loved from everlasting. Is it a title, dear friends, that we can hold for ourselves? If it is, we will be humbled truly under the mighty hand of God. That the Lord had some especial favour and love towards us before time began. Something to seek and something to pray for. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem, a man, dear friends, whom the Lord would visit, show his mercy in salvation to him, that he should become a man of God. And he said, whose name was Simeon. Dear friends, does the Lord know thy name and my name? His name was Simeon. I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Simeon. What about ourselves, dear friends? Has he called us by our name? As I said, are our names recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life? Is it there that our God knew everything about us? He knew that we should become sinners, but he made a wonderful provision in Father, Son, and Spirit that our name should be fixed in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Jesus sealed those names in the Lamb's Book of Life by his precious sin-atoning blood, the Lamb of God that should be slain from before the foundation of the world. What a mercy it is, dear friends, the covenant of God's grace was fixed and settled by Father, Son, and Spirit, that Jesus should undertake the cause and the interest of sinners here below and become their surety, becoming their salvation. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The Lord knew all about this man then. Does he know all about us, dear friends? It's something, dear friends, to pray about. That there's a time to be born and a time to die. This man was preserved and kept the time that he was born till he should become to know his great salvation in Jesus and his faith fixed upon him. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. He was known of our God, dear friends, and he was given into the hands of Jesus to save and to redeem. The same man was just and devout. He was a righteous man, a just man. He stood whole and complete through the blood and the righteousness of Jesus. Such was his faith, the offerings and the sacrifices. He looked to him that should come. it was accounted unto him for righteousness. His believing faith in the Messiah, him that should come. And having that knowledge, although Calvary and the cross and the work that Jesus should come and undertake for him wasn't clearly disclosed to him, but he knew this, that he should become a sacrifice for his sins. And it's something, dear friends, that we want to know something about. It's the most important truth in the whole of the gospel. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Those sins that stood against us, those sins that will condemn us eternally into an everlasting destruction and damnation, those sins that are in us by nature. He was just, and he was devout, a just man. He stood whole and complete, perfect, through Jesus. Such was his faith, and such, dear friends, his hope and expectation in the coming of the Lord Jesus. And he was devout, a true and a humble follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Devout in that the fear of the Lord was in his heart, that fear that gives us the whole and the true worship of our God. It's a reverential fear of his great name. It's the whole of our worship. It's towards God. It honours God. It is the work of grace in the soul, that fear that will keep us and hold us to him. Devout, a true follower, walked in the light and truth of God's word, dear friends. Is this our following? Is it our path? Is this word everything to us? Is it the conduct and the manner of our lives here below? This was Simeon, devout. It doesn't mean to say, dear friends, that he didn't suffer from his sins, because there is no man that sinneth not. But he knew the throne of grace, dear friends, just as David did. And all the Old Testament saints, they knew what it was to confess and repent. He was a true follower of God, served him. And the same man was just and devout. Here we have one then, dear friends, one that was near to God, one that loved God, one that served God, one that delighted in union, communion with God. Is it something, dear friends, that is a part of our lives? Dear friends, it's the best part of our lives. The best part. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Waiting. This was his hope then. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. What does this word consolation mean? It means one that draweth alongside. That is what it means. And Jesus is our only consolation. It cannot be said of anyone else, this consolation. One that draweth alongside. Isn't it that his Heavenly Father sent him forth into this world to do? To seek out and to save lost sinners. To give salvation to them. When Zacharias, when his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, dear friends, he spoke in prophecy. He hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, from all our enemies. This was the hope, the consolation in Jesus. This is the work that his Heavenly Father sent him to do, to give salvation to sinners. And, dear friends, isn't he that one that has drawn alongside us? Because there is no other peace, no other blessing than this consolation. He came to give salvation to sinners. And we shall never be found, dear friends, in any comfortable place until we have found this consolation, found this salvation in Jesus, because of all our enemies. The sin that lies within us by nature, the awfulness of a ruined state and condition by nature, all the vileness and the uncleanness that is in us by nature, the alienation that we have from God in respect of this nature, that we're enemies to God. And dear friends, that leaves us in a very solemn place and position. But Jesus was sent, dear friends, of his Heavenly Father, to be the deliverer. And we read the word in respect of Anna. And she was one that was also waiting. And what was the blessing that she was waiting in respect of? It was this truth, that she looked for redemption in Jerusalem. This is the same word, really, redemption. You see, it's the price that was going to be paid for all that sinned and for and all our enemies that lie within us by nature. Redemption. It can be the same meaning, because he drew alongside, and it was at Calvary's tree that he drew alongside, where he suffered in the room and place of sinners. He drew alongside, dear friends, everyone who should be saved by him. In time, there will be the blessing that each and every one, the Lord will appear unto them, and they will be drawn to this glorious Christ, And he will only be our consolation, our only hope, as we are brought to feel our sins through the Spirit of the Lord. And dear friends, we need him. Because we're journeying to an end, and we need him. And we shall need him in every part of the way. This consolation, it's such a great word, dear friends, to draw alongside. He drew alongside his people upon that cross at Calvary, dear friends. What he endured and what he suffered, our poor minds cannot come into it. But he became the salvation of his people. He became their surety. This is the mercy. And then that redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins. Oh, the forgiveness of sins, dear friends. That is the greatest word in the gospel, isn't it? Forgiveness. There isn't a more blessed word than that. And the application of it to the soul of a poor sinner through the Spirit of the Lord, that Jesus came and suffered, bled and died in our ruined place. Consolation. He drew alongside. He came near to us. Dear friends, it's the most wonderful word in the gospel, waiting for the consolation of Israel, waiting for the comfort and the peace of it. And that is another word, comfort. You know, it's the same meaning. One that draweth alongside. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. Oh, is that an encouragement for a poor seeking sinner, dear friends? I will come unto you. Oh, it was the comforter here below, wasn't he? Consolation when here in his ministry. He was. He was the only one that could give any comfort to any poor soul. Oh, he came, dear friends, and drew near and showed comfort to many. We may think of the two on the Emmaus Road. They were despondent and seemed to be so discouraged and could not understand things that had taken place in Jerusalem over the past few days. But you see, and Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. And dear friends, wasn't that at a time of consolation to their poor souls, dear friends? Was there any such time as that? He showed himself to be the comforter. I will not leave you comfortless. And he's the only one that can comfort us, dear friends, in all our need, in all our concerns, in all our troubles, in all our afflictions, in all our sicknesses, in all our diseases. He's the only one. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. And there's another truth in respect of this, dear friends. Those that have known and felt redeeming love and blood through Jesus, it doesn't mean to say that they've done with sin. No. I wish it was so. I wish it was so, dear friends. But I have an advocate with the Father. Oh, what is the meaning of this gracious word? Advocate, one that draweth alongside. Isn't he our only consolation, dear friends? Poor wayward hearts, our minds, backslidings, vain thoughts, the body of death that Paul suffered with? Oh, dear friends, but he had one, an advocate. Who did he flee to, dear friends? Oh, he confessed his sins, didn't he? The body of death. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord and advocate. The only peace and consolation that we have. The fountain of Jesus' blood still flows today to cleanse and to heal. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, dear friends, have we known something of it? The blessing of it? The deliverance? You know, we experience many salvations, you know, because the Lord gives us many deliverances. Yes. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. Are we waiting for the consolation of Israel, dear friends? Is there some poor soul waiting for Jesus? Some poor soul, dear friend, with all the weight and the burden of their sins upon their consciences? Jesus is the only one. And dear friends, if he has put trouble into thy soul through his Spirit and burdened thee with sin, then that good work has begun. He will appear. There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. He will never begin, dear friends, unless he finishes. No, when he does begin, he continues. There is the hope, there is the consolation. Pray on, urge and press thy case before him. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. This is our mercy today. This is the religion we want today, isn't it? And Holy Ghost religion. It comes from heaven, dear friends. That is our mercy. It begins with our God. It comes to us through Christ. And the Holy Spirit is the revealer and the manifester of our salvation. This is real religion. The Holy Ghost was upon him. And I pray, dear friends, the Holy Ghost be upon us each, all our journey through. It will bless us with a true following of godliness and holiness in our hearts and in our lives. It shows to us the great and wonderful truth of our belonging unto God. The Holy Ghost was upon him. This is the real and true effect and work of the grace of God upon the soul of a sinner. And it will hold the sinner to his God. Such a needful and a blessed grace. The revealer of Christ. And the revealer of our sins and iniquities. For he shall convince and convict of our sin. A Holy Ghost religion. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. This word here in this whole part of the Holy Ghost was that the Lord spake to him. And it was really a word in prophecy. that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. The Holy Ghost revealed. The Holy Ghost came and showed to him. It was like a word in prophecy, something that should yet come to pass, that he should not see death till he had seen the Lord's Christ. And dear friends, I pray that not one of us here shall see death till we have seen the Lord's Christ. Because, dear friends, it would be awful otherwise. Awful. You see, this death is that that came upon us through the fall. And I'm speaking here of corporeal death, the death of the body, and the going forth from this earthly scene. This death came upon us through sin, through the disobedience of one. Many became sinners, and death came upon all of us by nature. Let us understand the truth of this. I just go to Romans 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Death. The wages of sin is death. And we shall enter into a corporeal death. This body will come to the end of its course. That he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Let us, through the Spirit of the Lord, be brought and made sensible of this truth in our own hearts. Let the Spirit of the Lord be our teacher and show to us, dear friends, that death is upon the wing. We do not know when we shall be taken from this earthly scene. But where do we stand before a holy and a righteous God? Is our title clear to mansions in the skies? Have we got some witness, some token for good that it shall be well with us? We want to know about this, dear friends. And we want to know about it now. Because it is the most important thing in our lives. There's nothing more important. That he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Dear friends, I pray that none here will see death before they've seen the Lord's Christ. It's my mercy, dear friends, that I've seen the Lord's Christ. I didn't seek him. I thought I was doing quite well. Getting along, yes, I came to the Lord's house, I worshipped. Not saying, dear friends, that I didn't have a desire to come to the Lord's house. But dear friends, nothing fastened upon my poor mind in respect of my great need as a sinner till the Holy Spirit came that we've spoken of. It is to be prayed for. I can preach of it now. It's my mercy that the Lord didn't leave me in my sins and iniquities. My mercy. That he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. I just thought, dear friends, of that wonderful word, that Christ was going to taste death for every man. We see Jesus, and by the grace of God, that he should taste death for every man. Doesn't mean everybody. The next verse says that he should bring many sons unto glory, meaning the whole election of grace. But dear friends, his heavenly Father sent him forth in his grace, that Jesus should come and taste death for every man. And this, dear friends, is the difference. Every man whom his heavenly Father gave to him, it is another part of prayer, dear friends. We want to be included. We want this wondrous revelation revealed and manifest unto us, that Christ came into this world to suffer, bleed, and die for them, to lay down his life for sinners. And we want to feel that we were part of this wondrous grace that should come to us, the grace of our God in the person of Jesus, where Jesus would lay down his life for sinners. And then there is this truth, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. I just thought of a word in respect of this, dear friends, and I believe that I've been a part of this word, and I believe there are those here that have been a part of this word that I'm going to quote. But it is an important word. In Matthew chapter 16, in the last verse, verse 28, "Verily I say unto you," you know, when the Lord uses this word, verily, it's something that we should fix our minds upon. It's something of great importance, something of great need, but then also something of great comfort. Verily, verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Dear friends, what a wonderful word that was. The coming into his kingdom, that time, dear friends, when he should rise again from the dead, spend, as it were, 40 days here below, visiting his disciples and bearing witness that he was the risen, the glorious risen Saviour, and then ascending into heaven at the right hand of the Father. And this is the kingdom of God, because this is where it will begin. He will be gathering in the fruits of his sufferings and death through the gospel. This is the gospel that is preached into your souls today, we pray, through the Holy Spirit. And there are some here, dear friends, had not tasted death till they had seen the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. His kingdom is now preached. It is declared and proclaimed forth. It's the everlasting gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the kingdom. And dear friends, what a mercy it is to be a part of it. to be inside of it. We have here the great deliverer, the great mercy that should come to sinners. Salvation. And we will always feel it to be most undeserving, dear friends. Because when the Spirit of the Lord will bear testimony to our spirit of our sinful life, and the life that we have lived in sin, and the vanity of our lives, and the pleasure and the gains of this world, and Satan working in us with all his temptations, it's a great deliverance. Dear friends, come on to praying ground. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Pray that you're one of them, dear friends. You know, I pray morning and evening for those in my family, those amongst us at Arkle Street, Sedgley, and I pray for the stranger without, but then also I pray for this, and it's in my words, in my prayers, for everyone whom I'm acquainted with as I preach in our chapels. And dear friends, I pray that this will be a word here, that there shall not, there's some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Dear friends, to me it's so important. And the Lord knows how much I pray the prayer of intercession. To say, dear friends, that there shall be not one here left in darkness and ignorance in their minds as these precious truths are opened up, and the great reality and the truth of our need of a Saviour to redeem us and to save us from our sins. Dear friends, the wages of sin is death, and it's death corporeal, death spiritual, and death eternal. And dear friends, it's not to be contemplated. The end, the destruction, the torment, the just wrath of God eternally. Pray that this precious gospel, dear friend, be preached right into thy soul. Before he had seen the Lord's Christ, now the blessing that followed in respect of Simeon. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. The salvation of the Lord in this holy child Jesus, whom he bare up in his arms. He saw him to be his whole salvation, and he already had a faith in this holy child of God. His faith was in him. But dear friends, he was to behold him as it were naturally, but then also still to behold him in faith, that the dear Lord Jesus was going to go forth and lay down his life for him, become a sacrifice for his sins and iniquities. This was the blessing. This is what his faith was fixed upon. And we haven't got any peace, dear friends, unless it be done for us. No peace whatsoever. We will never truly enter into this peace. This peace comes to us through the peace-speaking blood of Jesus. In our salvation, This is what he's speaking of here. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He has beheld his precious Christ, who is going to go forth and suffer for him and for his sins and iniquities. He may not have known the exactness, dear friends, of Calvary, but he knew that he was going to give his life to be a ransom for his soul. And dear friends, unless we have the testimony and the witness of that in our souls, we have no peace whatsoever. Never. When the Lord pardoned and forgave my sins, dear friends, I entered into that peace. My soul was most comforted. I knew and felt that Jesus had borne all my sins away in his own body upon the cross. Every one of them, past life, present, and then also that to come. Such was this pure and holy sacrifice of Jesus. Here is the mercy to be found. Let us now, thy servant, depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Dear friends, close on this point. Seek for this peace, dear friends. It comes through the forgiveness of our sins. Where does that forgiveness come? It's the healing balm of Christ's precious blood, dear friends. And when that is applied to the conscience, it will bring peace, and it will bring peace to thy conscience, and it will bring thee peace with God. And that is what we want, peace with God, reconciliation again unto God the Father. Oh, this is the blessing of our salvation. And we need this token to bear with us all our journey through, dear friends. It's the only thing we can lay hold of that has been such a great blessing to our souls, that will bring us to our journey's end. For, dear friends, we want to depart with this peace in our consciences, peace with our God, peace through the merits of Christ's life, the merits of his sufferings and death, and the merits of his resurrection from the dead, standing whole and complete in a righteousness, not our own. These are the blessings, dear friends, to seek, and in this life. May the Lord take these things and bless them to our poor souls. May we know some belonging to the Lord, and may he come and own us to be his people, a people unto himself. May the Lord bless these few remarks. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Pickett, who is also expected to preach on Friday evening. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Jabez Rutt is expected to preach. And Sunday school recommences at Bethany this afternoon. Let us close with hymn 637. 637. Jesus, thou art our only rest. From sin and guilt and fears, we love to lean upon thy breast and on thee cast our cares. Hymn 637.
thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for ever. Amen.